Jesus is again teaching in parables. From we're looking at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And the lectionary text is what I preach. And it's chapter 13, verse 31 through 33, and then it drops down to 44 through 52. And we're looking at a series of parables. And then he closes it again with a section on judgment. Now, it's interesting that all three of these parables we've looked at the last 3 weeks, he's closed with judgment. And I say it's interesting because we in the 21st century North American church tend to try to get away from judgment. There is a judgment. And it's meant to motivate us who are believers as a reminder that we share the gospel message to others because there is judgment. There wasn't judgment, Christ wouldn't have died on the cross. He wouldn't have needed to. And he's done all the work necessary for everybody to go to heaven. That does not mean all are going to heaven. But he's done all the work. All we did was receive the gift. We don't have anything to brag about other than Jesus. Because he redeemed us. We didn't redeem ourselves. Chapter 13, verse 31 and following. He presented them another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour, and it was all leavened." Then verse 44 and following. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had bought and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach. And they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad fish they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come and bring forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. And in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Have you understood all these things? They said to him, "Yes." Isn't that amazing? They said yes, because after the other parables they did what? They said, "Explain that to us." But they understood these, so maybe they got it. And Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household brings out of his treasure things new and old." Dynamic Christians involve themselves in ministry. Dynamic Christians involve themselves in ministry. Notice Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It starts off very small, but when you plant it, it becomes a tree. Now, at that time, they thought the mustard seed was the smallest seed on the planet Earth. I've seen a mustard seed. They are teeny. Good South Georgian. They're teeny. They're small. Now, we do know now, scientists tell us, there is a seed that's actually smaller. But at that day and time, they thought that was the smallest seed on the planet Earth. And it becomes a tree. Birds can nest in. And then Jesus says, you take a little leaven and you put it in all these pecks of flour, and it leavens it all. How many of y'all know what leaven is? How many of y'all bake bread? I saw a few hands. Some of y'all were like, Leaven makes stuff rise. My parents owned a bakery when I was growing up, and about 4 o'clock in the morning, we'd start making donuts. And you put yeast in warm water, and you mix it up, and you wait. And that little tiny bits of yeast starts making this stuff that looks like yuckish brown Play-Doh. And it rises, and then you put flour in it, and you mix it up, and then you let it rise in the bowl. And we'd put pounds of flour in it, and that little bit of leaven would leaven it on. It'd rise up over the bowl. And I say a bowl, well, the bowl was like this, at about that high. And then you dump that out on the table and get it all smoothed over with flour and let it rise again. And then you break it down and you roll it out. And you knew how thick it was after time and experience. You could just feel it and you knew it was the right thickness. And you'd cut it out with a roller that had little octagon-shaped donuts on them. But when they cook, they come to brown, by the way. And then you put it on sheets, get ready to fry, and you let it rise again. And when it rises the third time, you fried them. In case you didn't know it, donuts are fried. And then you mix them up in sugar water that's really thick. And that's how they get the glaze on them. You put them in there on a thing and put them on it when you did it. Now, I know Krispy Kreme does it in volumes. They got all these machines there. We did it with hand do it. And you let it rise three times. Why? Made the donuts extra light and fluffy. And donuts, people tell me, are so good. They are terrible for you. They are grease and flour and sugar. That's why they're good. They're bad for you. I never had a donut until I was in college because, let me tell you, if you put mixing yeast and making that donuts at 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to eat one of them things. So I never had a donut until I was in college. But just a little bit, what's Jesus saying? Don't judge a ministry by how it starts. He took 12 people, and because of the work he did on the atoning cross of Calvary and the resurrection, those 12 people transformed the world. Well, of that 12, he did what? He lost one of them. He only had 11. And then Paul replaced him. He was one of the apostles. And they transformed the world. And you're looking at me like, preacher, we still got a lot of sin. Well, duh. We live in a sinful world. But as Christians, the Roman Catholic Church claims 1 billion, with a B, members. There are between 2 and 3 billion Christians on the planet Earth, because there are between 6 and 8 billion people. Now, that's pretty good for a group that started with 12, don't you think? Yeah. It's not how it starts. It's the faithfulness to God with a ministry. When I was on church staff in seminary, I was on church staff of a big church. We had about 1,000 to 1,200 Sunday morning attendance. Now, in Texas, big is very important. Being big is very important in Texas. Isn't that not right? You got to be big. You be the biggest. They said they still claim to be the biggest state. And I said, you're not. Alaska's the biggest state. And they say, yeah, but it's frozen. And I said, well, half of you, it's desert. And they said, well, there's oil under that sand. And I said, there's oil under that ice. They didn't like me much. But big's important. There were 70 churches bigger than us in the state of Texas, and we had 1,200. Later, after seminary, I attended First United Methodist Church in Fort Worth, 10,000 members. That's a bunch of folk. If you went to the traditional service, if you weren't there from 10 to 8 beforehand, you didn't get a seat. You had to stand up. They had no seats left. They had a communion every Sunday in the chapel. The chapel seated 500 people. And they had 3 contemporary services. Big's important in Texas. But Jesus is trying to teach us, don't judge a ministry on the size of it. A mustard seed starts off small and gets big. Leaven, a little bit, does the whole thing. When I was on church staff, this church, a young man shared a story, his story. He'd grown up in Texas, went to school in Texas, and got a job offer up there in foreign country, Kansas City. And his parents wanted him to look for a job in Dallas-Fort Worth, but he wanted to leave Texas for a while, so he went up there to Kansas City, got his job, and things went well for about a year and a half. Then he lost his job. He said, no problem, I'll find another job. He didn't find another job. He didn't find another job. He didn't find another job. He lost his apartment. He couldn't afford it anymore. He sold his furniture. Ended up living in his car. It gets cold in Kansas City. We don't know cold. We're in South Georgia. It gets cold here 2 weeks a year at about one day at a time. But it was cold. He lived on the street and lived out of his car. We finally got another job and got back on his feet. Then he found a job in Dallas-Fort Worth and he came back home. And then when they put blankets on sale, which they tend to do in the springtime, he bought them. And when the stores put linens on sale, he bought washcloths and towels. And when stores would put specials on toothbrushes and toothpaste, he bought that. When they put specials on socks, he bought socks. He had all this stuff in his apartment. His parents visited him one day and they said, what is all this stuff? And he finally broke down and told them his story of what happened. And his father went to the church and told some of the men, and his wife went to the church and told some of the women. And guess what they started doing? Buying socks and blankets and towels and toiletries. And a ministry was born from one guy's effort because he related to people who lived in their cars and on the streets because of his experience. It doesn't matter how ministry starts. It's how you follow God's vision. Now, I bring that up because sometimes in the church we say, I can't teach that first grade Sunday school class. There's only four people in it. That's four souls. Four souls. What price do you put on somebody's soul? It's priceless. Well, preacher, there's only three or four people that are interested in starting this class. That's three or four people. They're important. Are you being faithful to the vision God gives you? I get tickled. People come to me and say, preacher, God's put this burden on my heart for this ministry. What are you going to do about it? I look at them and say, I'm going to help you find recruits and help you get some money. And they say, I thought you'd do it. I said, no. My main job is to preach and teach. Equip the saints. By the way, y'all are the saints. I said, I'm going to help you find the resources to do what God's laid on your heart. Well, I don't mind working in it, but I don't want to lead it. Well, who did God lead to have this idea? Well, me. Well, maybe God's telling you something. Oh. And then I'll go to the council and ask for money. And when you go to the council and ask for money, they look at you like, he spends money. And I look at them and say, that's why it's given to spend. We're not a bank. I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a bunch of banks in this town. We don't need another bank. Well, by that, we might need another bank. I'm sorry. We don't need a church to be a bank. What God blesses us with, we're supposed to bless others with. We're to be a conduit. We're supposed to spend money doing ministry. We don't throw it away. If you try to throw it away, Florida will shoot you. But we do ministry. And it takes time and effort and people and money to be ministry. Y'all had a vision. Y'all built this building. I think it was $3.5 million. And what do we use it for? Do ministry. It was full at Vacation Bible School time. It's full on Sunday mornings. We want it to be full on Wednesday nights. I wouldn't mind it being full two or three other nights a week. I might even could figure out to write another sermon or something. But you see, God lays visions on people's heart, not just mine. The saints. But just as dynamic Christians get involved in ministry, dynamic Christians seek God's kingdom. Dynamic Christians seek God's kingdom. Now notice Jesus then gives us two, all these parables about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he gives two more illustrations. It's like a man who finds a treasure in the fields and then he rehides it and he goes and sells everything he's got to buy that field. Because he understands that treasure is worth more than everything I have. He sells it. Then another man who's looking for fine pearls finds a pearl that's incredible. And he goes back home, sells everything he owns, and buys that pearl. And he says, the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God is like this. What's Jesus saying? Once you got the kingdom of heaven and God, you know you have something worth more than everything you own. We sometimes forget that in the church. We take for granted we are part of the kingdom of heaven. We get what some people call, I like to call fire insurance. I'm not going to hell. Everything's going to be all right. My policy is paid up. I don't even have to pay another premium. By the way, you didn't pay the premium in the first place. Jesus Christ did. We just accepted the gift. Somebody gave us the gift. And we can become complacent. Not y'all, because you're on Sunday morning, but some people, you know, those slackers wait till 11 to come, you know. You get my point, don't you? We can become complacent. We've got something worth more than all that stuff we own. I'll give you a little secret if you're younger than 55. About the time you hit 55, you start trying to figure out what you're going to do with all that stuff you spent your life accumulating. Your children don't want it because they got their own stuff. So then you have to have yard sales and get rid of that stuff. And that stuff you thought was so valuable, nobody else wants. And you can't give it away, some of it. What's my point? In fact, we got so much stuff in this country, we have to rent places to put our stuff in. Because the attic won't hold anymore. Well, my parents, I bought the house when my mother passed away. My father had already passed away. And my oldest sister lived there. And when she passed away, I kept the house. But you can't keep a house. She lived 4 hours away. They fall apart. So I ended up selling it. Well, I emptied all the furniture, got rid of everything that I didn't want. And then I filled it up again with stuff from the attic. They had more stuff in the attic than you can shake a stick at. I filled up 3 dumpsters load of stuff. Now, we had clothes left over from the 40s and 50s. They built the home in the 40s, by the way. It was full of stuff. Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than any of our stuff. We're supposed to understand what a rare treasure we have if we're part of the kingdom of heaven. And then he closes it with that judgment stuff. What's he trying to say? He's trying to say, you need to tell others how valuable this treasure is, that they might believe also and be part of the kingdom of heaven. You see, when we walk in this earth, sometimes we forget that God's love is not like other things. Just because he loves someone else doesn't mean he loves us any less. And we share God's love. And the more we share it, the more it grows. And everybody needs to have this treasure that sometimes we can take for granted. And we're supposed to share the story because there is judgment. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, and he's done all the atoning work to keep them out of hell. And he wants us, once we're believers, to share the message that God loves him. And you can't mess that up. You will never meet somebody that God doesn't love. You can't mess it up. You just tell them God loves them. And then say, well, how do you know? And you look at him in the eye and you say, because he loves even me. Well, tell me about that. And you can tell them about your life before Christ and your life after Christ. By the way, in the church, we call that a testimony. We try to make it hard. Just talking about your life before Christ and your life after Christ. And we praise God and talk about how great he is. And then it's up to them to make a choice. And we keep doing that until he calls us home. Thanks be to God for the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us and care about us and want the very best for us. And we're thankful that you love everyone we will ever encounter. May we share the treasure that you've given us that they might have it too. And may we be involved in ministry. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.